the 15th of March is famous in history in the expression, "Beware the Ides of March." Those are the words of the seer who warned Julius Caesar as he was going to the Roman Senate. It happened on March 15, 44 BC. The Roman dictator, Julius Caesar, was assassinated by his own senators. As Caesar was talking to petitioners in the Senate, at an agreed signal, senators one by one struck a dagger into Caesar's body. And then with so many wounds, he was still attempting to ward off the attacks. But the worst part was when he saw his own protege, Brutus, in the act of striking him. And William Shakespeare immortalized the drama of the moment with Caesar's words, "Et tu, Brute, you too, Brutus." Ikaw rin, yung hinanakit ng salitang yun, ang siguro ay tumapos ang buhay ni Julius Caesar sapagkat maaring may mga kaaway siya sa politika doon sa Senado noon, pero ang kanyang pinaka-inaasahan ay yung kanyang ginugroom na kapalit na si Brutus ay sumali rin pala doon sa mga nagtraidor laban sa kanya. And the words speak of hurt more than just the wound inflicted by the dagger. The sense of betrayal always carries a special injury, a special wound. And this is one picture to bring home to us what Yahweh must be feeling when he was indicting his people because of their apostasy. Merong pag-traidor na nangyari ng ang kanyang bayan ay tumalikod sa kanya. And Amos was one of the earliest prophets sent by Yahweh to say, in effect, "Et tu, Israel." Ikaw rin, Israel, ang tumalikod sa Diyos matapos ang dakilang pagpapala ng tipan. And Amos, as we have seen, delivered oracles of judgments against various nations, nations that were enemies to Israel, yet he reserved the longest and the sharpest oracle against the nation of Israel herself. And that must be to the dismay of his hearers. Maring na dismaya yung kanyang mga tagapakinig sapagkat bagamat naghayag siya ng mga pahayag ng hatol ng Diyos sa iba't ibang mga bayan na nakapaligid sa Israel, ang pinakamahaba at ang pinakamatalas niyang pahayag ng hatol ay kanyang inilaan para sa bansa ng Israel. Sapagkat dito ipinapakita sa atin ang katotohanan na ang mas pinagpala ay dapat na mas lumakad ng ayon sa kalooban ng Diyos at kung hindi ay may mas mabigat na nakalaang parusa. And that's what we have seen in this series of oracles. Chapters 3 and 4 issued warnings leading to the final ultimatum, "Be prepared to meet your God, O Israel." Isang makikita natin dito sa kalooban ng Diyos, nagbibigay siya ng iba't ibang mga babala bago niya ibagsak yung kanyang hatol, yung kanyang parusa. And so when you hear warnings, those warnings are issues of God's mercy. He warns before He slays. He warns before He judges and He punishes. And that's what God does here through the prophet Amos. And therefore, those warnings are called to repentance. And that call to repentance is even demonstrated by Amos himself by issuing in chapter 5 a lamentation, isang panaghoy, isang pagdadalamhati ang ibinigay ni Amos. Yung tawag natin yan ay dirge, a lamentation hymn. And this is to show what God requires of His people. If they will return to Him, they must do so grieving. That's repentance. There must be grieving over one's sin. But that grieving can only be bestowed by grace. Yan ang mensaheng dala-dala dito ni Amos. Ngunit sa halip na humingi ng habag ng Diyos at ng kanyang biyaya, ang nangyari dito sa bansa ng Israel in the latter half of chapter 5 as we saw is that they resorted to an escapist religion. Isang relihiyon na pantakas lamang sa kanilang mga alalahanin. Relihiyon na maaring enjoy silang gawin. Relihiyon na gusto nilang dumalaw sa lungsod ng Bethel upang doon ay gumawa ng mga uri ng sakripisyong akala nila'y tatanggapin ng Diyos. But what happened, as I compared it last week, is just like going to the mall. You go to the mall and enjoy it, but you don't bring your mall, you don't bring the mall into your house, you don't bring the mall into your work, you don't bring the mall into your personal life. And that's what religion has become to the Israelites. They enjoyed it. They were consistent in their attendance, but they did not bring the religion to their house, to their work, to their personal life. The religion has become escapist, and God rejects an escapist religion that bears no fruit on one's life. And particularly, we saw the call on justice with our fellow men. Now, up to this point, we may feel the discomfort of the rebukes and the denunciations, but we have to agree that Amos was raising legitimate issues of sins and that the nation needed repenting from these sins. In other words, these are clear cases of offenses. But now, the discomfort will become quite personal to us as Amos raises an issue that we may not even count a sin. Turn your Bibles to Amos chapter 6. Hanggang puntong ito ay maaring iniisip natin tama ang mga sinasaway ni Amos, mga maliliwanag na mga kasalanan. Ngunit darating tayo sa punto kung saan ang panaway ni Amos ay sa isang bagay na maaring ni hindi natin iniisip na kasalanan. Amos chapter 6, let's read verses 1 to 8. Amos 6, 1 to 8. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. Go over to Calneh and see, and from there go to Hamath the Greek. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms, or is their territory greater than your territory? Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who chant to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now go captive as the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be removed. The Lord God has sworn by himself, the Lord God of hosts says, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore, I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. Now, what stands out immediately is the way Amos now brings back Judah into the picture. Ibinalik niya ang Judah. Nung sabi niya yung Zion, ang Zion ay tumutukoy sa Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the capital of Judah. And so it is as if, although since chapter 2, he has been addressing Israel, and with two verses reserved for Judah, now suddenly, Judah is back to the picture. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion. And then he mentions Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. In other words, he is now addressing the whole nation, now divided, but now addressed as one, as God's people. Zion and Samaria, you are at ease. Ang kanyang sinasaway dito ay ang kanilang pagkakampante sa panahon na dapat sila ay nagsusumikap at nagpapakasigasig sa mga bagay ng Diyos. So this is therefore my message for this afternoon. Complacency in the things of God is a woeful offense to God that He wants to punish. Complacency in the things of God is a woeful offense that God warns He will punish. That's the word woe. Sa aba ninyo. Now, do we not reserve that interjection woe for something that really is revolting? Well, exactly. We must see the sin that is being rebuked here as revolting to God. Maring iniisip natin, dapat sinasabi lang natin yung woe kapag talagang kasuklam-suklam yung kasalanan. E ganyan nga ang pakiramdam ng Diyos sa kasalanan na sinasaway dito ni Amos, isang kasalanan hindi niya palalampasin. Kasalanan na kasuklam-suklam. Pero ano bang kasalanan ito? Ito ba'y kasalanan na naiskandalo yung buong bansa? Ito ba'y kasalanan na may kinalaman sa napakalinaw na paglabag sa mga kautusan ng Diyos? Hindi, ang kasalanan na sinasaway dito ay sapagkat ang bansa sa panahon ng dapat silang masigasig ay nagpapakampante ng kanilang espiritual na buhay. You must be able to see how God feels about this offense. This offense of complacency is woeful to God. There are three things, therefore, I want us to see concerning this sin. First, complacency described. Secondly, complacency denounced. And thirdly, complacency defeated. Complacency described. Ano ba itong tinatawag na being at ease? Kampante sila. Now, the sort of complacency that Amos is warning in the immediate context is a military one. Both Jerusalem and Samaria were famous for their natural defenses, and that made them comfortable as far as attacks from Assyria were concerned. Parang kampante sila na hindi sila basta maatake ng Assyria, at maaring yung Assyria ay mahina nung pagkakataong ito dahilan sa sila'y nagkaroon ng mga problema bilang bansa. At ang nangyari sa bansang Israel ay walang paghahanda, walang anumang kamalayan ng panganib na nagbabanta na anumang sandali maaring atakihin sila ng Assyria, pero ang kanilang pangangatwiran ay kaya natin yan. Matibay yung ating depensa laban sa kanila. Kaya sa halip na sila ay maghanda at talagang magsanay sa kanilang pakikipaglaban, eh walang saysay para sa kanila, naging kampante. But then the prophet expands the rebuke on their ease, not only in their military unpreparedness. Amos expands his rebuke against ease in the overall dealings of the nation with the things of God. Yung kanilang pagkakampante, hindi lang sa paghahanda sa kanilang dapat ay military preparedness. Ang kanilang pagiging kampante ay nakita sa kanilang saloobin sa mga bagay ng Diyos. And the prophet rebukes this overall security that had no sense of danger of an approaching punishment of God. At ganyan na at ganyan ito aangkop sa atin. To rest on security with no sense of danger results in lack of striving in the things of God. That's what happened to the nation, both of Judah and that of Israel. There was no striving in the things of God. They were at ease. Instead of really pleading for God, instead of really asking God to be present in them and with their nation, there was no such pleading. They just went on with their services and worship assemblies with no sense of danger. Everything is secure. And what happened was no striving for the things of God. That's complacency. Complacency is spiritual sloth. Ito'y katamaran na espiritual. Anong nangyayari sa isang may katamaran? Siya'y kampante na kung anong mayroon. Wala siyang pagsisikap na umasenso. Wala siyang pagsisikap na magtrabaho sa mga bagay na dapat niyang pagsikapan. At ito ang nangyayari sa mga taga-Israelita, mga taga-Israel. The rulers were particularly rebuked by Amos, because they were having a grand time. They had luxury of ivory beds, sumptuous food, and their behavior, in other words, was one of those who had no idea a war was coming. They had no preparation for war, no sense of danger. Sa halip na maghanda, nagpakasasa. Nag-enjoy sa kanilang kalayawan. Yan ang nangyayari dito sa bansang Israel. And that sort of complacency fits as a description even of Christians sometimes in their churches. So how the people of God were at ease in Zion fitly describe some Christians at ease in churches. Sometimes it takes this particular form. They absorb the doctrine of assurance of salvation. And they are given the assurance that nothing can steal their salvation away from them. They will go to heaven no matter what. And the result is nothing to worry. We're going to heaven in the end no matter what. And the result is that there is no striving to grow, no striving to be holy, no striving to be useful in the things of God. It's enough for them that they are sure of heaven. It's enough for them that they are sure they belong to God. But there's no striving for God. Walang pagsisikap na lumago sa Diyos. Para sa kanila, sapat na yung katiyakan na dahil kay Kristo, tayo may kaligtasan, pupunta tayo ng langit. At nandun na sila, nagkaroon na sila ng kasapatan doon. Wala nang pagsisikap, nagkakaroon ng ganyang pagkakampante ang mga Kristiyano. And this is the ease that Amos is rebuking. No striving. They deserve the epitaph written by a man for himself, which goes like this. He slept beneath the moon. He basked beneath the sun. He lived a life of going to do and died with nothing done. Yung mga ganyang Kristiyano na palaging, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be that. And yet nothing done. And they secure themselves in the thought that I belong to Jesus and I'm going to heaven no matter what, and there is no striving. Now that is the complacency that is being described by Amos. Now ask yourself, are you that? Are you guilty of this kind of ease, of this kind of complacency? There's one easy way to determine. By comparison, consider areas where you know you cannot be charged of complacency. Ihambing mo sa mga larangan ng buhay mo na talagang hindi ka mapagbibintangan na ikaw ay kampante. Sa iba siguro, sports. You look at, observe participants in sports. They become passion personified when during games. You cannot accuse them of lack of passion during games. And yet it's only a game. Or even when you're not a direct participant, even if you're just watching games, you can become very passionate about what you're watching. Di ba? Pag kami ng anak ko nanood sa kahit sa TV lang at kami na-involve sa aming panonood, makakarinig ka bigla ng mga sigaw riyan. We get involved. There's passion in it. Or perhaps it's your hobby. In your hobby, you take it quite seriously. You spend for it. You develop yourself in that hobby, whatever that hobby is. You are involved in it. That's your passion. For others, your job is something you cannot be accused of ever being complacent. Talagang siniseryoso mo ang trabaho mo, nagsisikap ka. And there are times perhaps you even go overtime with no need to be paid. You get mentally and physically involved. You're involved in your job. So what is it in your life that you know you're not complacent in? Sports, hobby, job. Now, what you are in your area of passion and excitement compared to what you are in church. This is what Amos is describing here. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Do you have excitement? Do you have extra effort? Do you spend? Do you work without needing any big motivation? That's the question to ask. Now, it's not mere attendance. You see, the complacent may not be absent from the assembly, and yet he is unexcited with the Word of God. The complacent may enjoy the fellowship of God's people, but he has no zeal, no goal of serving his brethren. The complacent is simply at ease. And that, in fact, is the danger here. You cannot condemn him for anything scandalous. You cannot condemn him for anything that he has done in clear violation of the law of God. He's simply at ease. And he's not bothered by a lack of growth, a lack of victory, a lack of usefulness. He will appear so regular that there is nothing that can be denounced of him. And there lies the danger. And I come to the second, therefore, complacency denounced. Ang pagsaway sa kampanteng diwa. Amos points them to other cities that were even stronger than Jerusalem or Samaria, and yet this city succumbed. He spoke of Kalne. Kalne is in Mesopotamia. And then Hamath is in Syria. And then Gath is down in the city of the Philistines. And these three points that Amos used are form a triangle around Judah and Israel. And definitely the point of Amos is, look around you. You feel so secure about your defenses when cities stronger than you have succumbed to the power of the enemy. Well, what we see here is how Israel and Judah fell victim to the old deception. The old deception, what happened to them will not happen to us. But in the language of Amos here, you put far off the day of doom. Parang sa tingin ninyo yung kapahamakan ay napakalayo. It's a remote possibility. It will not happen to us. And what's the reason? What's behind this security? Well, God exposed it in very simple words. Verse 8, the Lord God of hosts says, I abhor the pride of Jacob. So behind this security, this sense that nothing will happen, nothing bad will happen, behind it is pride. That's complacently proud. So to be complacently proud while the enemy is gaining strength is the sure formula of doom. Yung sa palagay mo, walang masamang mangyayari, samantalang abala ang kaaway upang pasamain ang iyong buhay, ito ang ikapapahamak ng kampante, yung walang pagsisikap. It happened in history prior to the Second World War. The European powers grew complacent. After all, they were weary from the First World War. And after all, Germany lost that war. And they grew complacent. Meanwhile, in 1933, Germany put Adolf Hitler as chancellor, leader of Germany. And then from there, Hitler systematically regained strength, armed himself, and when strong enough, gobbled up nation after nation. And still, the European powers, England and France in particular, were just complacent. Nothing bad. They'll just give him what he wants. Nothing bad will happen. It was too late. When on September 1, Hitler attacked Poland, and the closeness of the nation to Great Britain and France means that they could no longer overlook the danger. But by then, it was too late. World War II began. But it's because of complacency. Nagkampante sila samantalang nagpapalakas yung kalaban. Hindi sila naghanda. Kampante na sila sa kanilang kalagayan. And that is fuel for doom. Yan ang babala rito ni Amos sa Israel. What made them proud, as I've described to you before, during the reign of Jeroboam, they were economically strong. People were becoming rich. And that became the seed of pride to them. That apparent strength during Jeroboam's regime was really just apparent. When Jeroboam died, in just a space of 1 year, Israel experienced 3 successive kings because the first 2 were assassinated. In other words, the apparent strength of Jeroboam hid the instability of the nation. Eh, ganun ang nangyari. At ganun ang mangyayari sa sino mang hindi naghahanda na talagang lumaban. Kaya ang kupitong inawit natin kanina na tayo't mga kaawal ng Panginoon na dapat lumalaban, hindi tayo dapat kampante sapagkat ang kaaway natin ay hindi kampante. Nagpapalakas siya upang tingnan niya saan tayo kanyang maaring daigin. This is where the deception comes in. Everything is fine. Nothing bad is going to happen. Kita natin to sa Amerika ngayon. The name of Bernard Madoff may not be a household name to us, but Bernard Madoff was once the chairman of the Nasdaq Securities, and Nasdaq is just second to the Dow Jones as the most prominent of the securities in Wall Street. And so Bernard Madoff was one of the big faces of Wall Street. And with that reputation, people invested money in him and in his firms. Well, just last Thursday, he was sentenced to, hold your breath, 150 years in prison. Having embezzled what is now the biggest fraud in world history. More than $60 billion in what is in trade parlance called Ponzi scheme. Ibig sabihin, may magbibigay sa kanya ng pera para palaguin sa mga pamumuhunan. Hindi niya pinamuhunan, inangkin niya. Eh, napakaraming nagbigay. Kaya kung may gustong ng pera niya, paikutin lang niya. They call it Ponzi, we call it here pyramid. But the point is, these investors thought their money was safe without realizing that they were being cheated of their precious money. They did not watch because they believed in the name Madoff. Well, that's the kind of deception those who are complacent will fall victim by. Mabibiktima tayo ng kapag kampante tayo sa ating buhay espiritual na sa halip na ating tutukan ay kampante tayo na walang mangyayaring masama. This is denounced not to be in fighting mode while there is an ongoing spiritual warfare will only have oneself to blame. You will be caught up with the schemes of the enemy unprepared. Kaya isipin mo, inihahanda mo ba ang sarili mo? Eh, itong nangyari sa Israel, sa panahon na naghahanda ang Assyria, nagpapalakas, ang Israel ay nagpapalayaw ng kanilang sarili. Instead of being in fighting mode, they were in sleeping mode. On a luxury bed at that, ivory bed. Not only were they in sleeping mode, the rulers and the people were in eating and party mode, eating lambs and all this sumptuous food. And on top of it all, they were even in sacred music mode. They were having concerts of the Vedic music. Nag-iimbento pa raw sila ng mga musical instruments. So in other words, here was Assyria preparing, and here was Israel in party mode. How misfit na pagtabihin mo yung dalawa, but ganyan ang nangyayari na ang kaaway natin ay naghahanda, nagpaplano, samantalang maraming Kristiyano ay kampante sa kanilang kalagayan. This is denounced. Remember, the devil and his forces are always in war mode. They are in war mode in preparation for your coming to church today. Trying to plan how you will miss the blessing. And many Christians don't even put up a struggle. And the devil and his cohorts will be in war mode when you leave church today. And when you go back home, they are in war mode. And while many Christians will not even put up a fight. So the question to ask is, are you in fighting mode? Complacency will take fighting out of us. And that is why it is denounced. But let me close with complacency defeated. Israel, as a nation, would not recover from this complacency. While they were in party mode, Assyria was rebuilding, and then came the chance of history. A man by the name Tiglath-Pileser came to the throne, and he would be one of the greatest of leaders in ancient history. And by him, he would build the forces of Assyria and then will march towards Israel. And in the year 722 BC, Israel as a nation ceased to exist, never to recover again. That's what happened. Defeat. But I don't want to leave this thought with such a negative idea. While Israel was defeated, you and I need not be defeated by complacency. We can defeat complacency. And there is something here that the prophet said, if only they did, well, they did not. But you and I could. What was it that they should have done? Listen to Amos. You anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but you are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. So that's the thing that Amos, as prophet, was asking the nation to do. Grieve for the affliction of Joseph. And Joseph here is representing the two major tribes of Israel, Manasseh and Ephraim. And they will be the first to fall in such a major way. And Israel did not have the heart to feel the affliction of Joseph. Well, what does that say to us? Well, it says there must be recognition where it is not at all well in your spiritual life before God. You must see the weak points. You must see those areas in your life that are warning loud and clear. If you don't watch this, you will fall. There must be grieving instead of complacency. And that's what Israel failed to do. They remained complacent until the day that Assyria sacked Samaria and the whole nation with it. Well, for our part, confront that which is weak. Confront that which is inviting the enemy in your life. Confront the inertia of complacency and turn it around to be ready to fight. Harapin mo yung dapat harapin sa yung spiritual na buhay. May mga larangan dyan sa yung pamumuhay na maaring kampante ka, subalit yan ang larangan na maaring takihin ng kaaway at dyan ka niyang pabagsakin. Kung hindi ka nagbabantay, hindi ka nagsisikap. Maaring meron dito na ikaw ay pinaralisa ng diablo sa pag-iisip na marami pang panahon. Maari mo pang ipagpaliban ang paanyaya ng ebanghelyo at hindi ka nag-iisip ng seryoso na ngayon ang dapat na panahon na ikaw ay lumapit kay Kristo at danasin mo ang kaligtasan ng ebanghelyo. Ngunit maaring dinadaya mo ang sarili mo. You deceive yourself into thinking, there's so much time, I'm young. And without realizing it, you are being attacked and you're lying folded to the enemy. But what about us Christians? Where might the devil be attacking us? Where might we be complacent? Because it's an area that probably is not announcing anything that is clearly in violation of God. It's just complacency. Perhaps you have not been searching the Word of God with personal delight and zeal, and yet you're complacent about it. It may be that your prayer has been characterized by a mechanical, automatic kind of utterances, but no real pleading with God, and you're just complacent about it. And I'm saying, confront it now. Confront it now, and confronting the inertia begins now. Otherwise, the inertia of complacency will just lead you on to a sense of no danger until the attack comes. So where should you be doing more? Where should you be striving more? Where should you be confronting more rather than be complacent? You know that one major period in Martin Luther's life was after the majestic confrontation in the Diet of Worms, when Martin Luther said, "Here I stand, so help me God." After that, he was kidnapped, quote-unquote, by his friends to hide him, because the real danger, the potential of danger, was very real. So they abducted Martin Luther, first against his will, but they hid him in the Warburg Castle. The Warburg Castle is now a tourist attraction in Germany. And they hid them in the Warburg Castle, and they thought that it was a period for Martin Luther to lie low. Well, not for a man of passion like Martin Luther. While hid in the Warburg Castle, Martin Luther did one of his greatest masterpieces, the translation of the Bible into German. And scholars until now say it has had much influence on the German language. There's the man who's supposed to use the period for rest, lying low, and don't do much activity, don't even show up. But such was the passion of Martin Luther that even there, he had to do something. He cannot let time just go by without doing something for God. That's the man who cannot be complacent. And I'm asking you, do you have such passion, or is there something in your Christian life that you are turning into complacency? Well, listen to the language of Amos. He's not rebuking any scandalous sin. Is not rebuking a clear violation of God's law. The rebuke simply is, woe to those who are at ease. Let's sing our last hymn, a hymn that we can make a matter of prayer as we assess and reflect on our own lack of passion in many areas. We have not known thee, we have not feared thee, we have not loved thee as we ought, we have not served thee as we ought. And let it be a sanctified complaint. When shall we know thee as we ought, and fear and love and serve aright? May that be a real thirst that we feel we must quench through the grace of God by being zealous and in fighting mode for the things of God. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos sa tama, naway maging bukas ang aming puso sa dating ng pagsaway ni Propeta Amos sa kanyang kapanahunan, na maaring maging ukol din sa amin sa aming panahon. The woe to those at ease in Zion can fitly describe Christians in churches. that while the Israelites failed to prepare themselves for battle, we may be at ease while the enemy is very much in war mode. We pray, Lord, for conviction. And we pray that we would see that it is pride that fuels the sense of security that does not prepare us to the real battle we must fight to withstand against the enemy. And so we ask, Lord, for a real awakening. If there is any complacency on our part, help us to see where that is. And indeed, we confess that it may be a part that is not crying out with danger because everything seems so regular. And yet, our failure to prepare, our failure to fight, may make these areas the areas of the devil's attack. And we find ourselves ill-prepared. And we find ourselves falling victim to his onslaughts. And so we ask, Lord, for a real sense of what we should be doing. We pray for those who should sense the danger of the coming judgment, and that there is only one hope, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And probably they are being brought senseless to the thought of a long life, a lot of time, and they are becoming blinded to the danger of your judgment. Awaken them now. Make them realize that the invitation of the gospel is for now, that they must come. And for us believers, we too can be complacent in our areas of duty, in our areas of battle. Indeed, there may be work that we do with very little fervor, if any. Our battles may be lost or scarcely won. And we ask, O Lord, for conviction that this is not how the Christian life should be lived. We should be men and women of passion for our faith and for our Christian service and duties. And so awaken us to those areas of complacency and make us be men and women of zeal and passion, because this is for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray all these things. Amen.